Are you remembered by your accomplishments or failures? That's my first question for you tonight. Both.
Are you remembered for your accomplishments or failures?
There it is. Well, as you're resting on that question, welcome to week two of Become. We're all talking about Jesus this whole month and talking about how he became who he was through the different stages of life. We talked about baby Jesus last week. If you weren't here, you can get it online. It will change your life. I hope so. Listen to it. Baby Jesus will change your life just as much as adult Jesus. I promise you. So that was last week, but this week, you'll see what we're talking about here in a second. But are you remembered by your accomplishments or failures? I didn't hear you. Both? No, I don't want to hear both. I want to hear one or the other. Okay, well, you guys are really close. 50-50 chance, huh? Hopefully your accomplishments, your achievements. Hopefully. Now, I don't want to bring up this sore subject, but if you've ever been to or if you've ever experienced a funeral, what usually do they talk about that person at that funeral? All the good things, right? All the funny things, all the things that they accomplished, right? All the things that how they were awesome and all these types of things. And I feel like that's an example for us tonight because that kind of answers our question in one way or another, that we kind of are or we should be remembered for our accomplishments, right? I hope so. Are we all on the same page now? Shelby, are you okay tonight? I just feel like there's a bubble of something coming off of you and you're crazy tonight or something, so... Charles, help me with that. Keep her tame. Yeah, and if you can't do it, then there'll be a leader that'll come by, I promise you. All right, this is something else. So if we're remembered by accomplishments, I wanted to share with you tonight my top 10 accomplishments up to this point in my life. Not in any order, but these are things that I'm proud of. And I just want to say, I'm not sharing these with you to boast or to be prideful or to be like, oh, cool, Greg, you're awesome. Look at these accomplishments that you have. I simply want to share these with you as an example to make you realize that it's actually important for you to write down your accomplishments in life. Okay, so if you've never done that, and I know we all have accomplishments, do not tell me you don't, okay? Your accomplishment, if you never had accomplishment, well, you have accomplished to get here tonight, and in my eyes, that's an accomplishment, so write that down when you get home. But here's the thing. If you haven't wrote down your accomplishments, I encourage you to do that when you get home and look at them, because we know when life comes at us and we're always thinking about life, people are always telling us what we're bad at, and our parents are always getting on our butts about things, and we're always feeling bad on ourselves because all these failures in school and sports and what our friends say and stuff. So it's really important. It's a strategic, that's always a hard word for me to say. I'm proud of myself. Strategic thing to write down your accomplishments, stare at them, and be proud of yourself. It's okay to do that. So I wanted to share with you my 10 top accomplishments up to today. Number 10, starting with number 10. I was first chair in band through middle school and high school. That's right, trumpet. I played a mad trumpet, okay? Mad trumpet. Like, your ears would melt if you heard me play the trumpet, okay? I've kind of lost that skill a little bit, but I pick it up once in a while and I sound like a duck, so. With that, number 9, I actually took first in state in solos and duets and trios and jazz ensembles in high school on the trumpet for solo ensemble competitions. Anyone know what solo ensemble is? You guys do that? Yeah. I was pretty darn good. I will stand up here prideful, whatever. And I really enjoyed trumpet. I played it for 11 years, and I stopped because, I don't know why, don't ask me. I'll probably be one of those old farts one day and join a community band and play my trumpet. I can almost see that happening. Bye, honey, I gotta go to band practice. I see. That's probably going to happen. I'm not even lying. My mom did it, and my sister, so. All right, number 8, counting down. I'm really proud of this one. I started See You at the Pole in middle school, and I saw over 200 students come out to it. Now, this is cool because, and I'm really, you know, the honor and the credit goes to God no matter what for this one, but I'm just proud of myself that I had the strength and I had the courage as a little seventh grader to go to my principal Sit down with him. Ask, explain to him what See You at the Pole. And if you know what See You at the Pole is, and you've never been there, and if you missed it this past year, shame on you. But it's where you go to your flagpole and you play. Yes, you play around at your flagpole. I cannot talk tonight. I need another drink of water. That's probably what it is. There we go. All fixed. You go there and you pray for your school and your family and friends. And so, as a little tiny seventh grader, I went to my principal, and I was just like, we need to have this. This is important for our community, for our faculty. I'm all, like, cool and mature about it and stuff like that. And so I ended up setting up. I made announcements, like, a month in advance. Like, I'd go on the loudspeaker, you know, and my voice is all shaking, and, come to See You at the Pole. And honestly, we had a school of about 400 middle schoolers, and half of them came out that morning, and it was raining. It was a small drizzle, but it was raining, okay? And it was just awesome, and my youth pastor was there with me, and it's the first time they ever had See You at the Pole, so I'll never forget that. I don't know if they're still doing it, but. All right, number seven. This is one thing I'm really excited about, too. I've actually written over 25 songs on my guitar. So that's from silly, goofy songs to worship songs to awesome whatever songs, and the songs that I wrote my wife that I play, 25. Where does it say? Yeah, it says 25. I've written over 25. The last one I've written recently was in July. Some of you guys heard that at Propel Night and stuff like that. But I love playing my guitar, and it's one of the things I enjoy in my life. Here's number six. Now this is a little disclaimer. It's not something I've accomplished yet, but I kind of said it before, but I'm in the starting process to complete a book/movie. I really am. I don't want to tell you what it's about. It'll take too long, but please pray for me. I've started, at least started, if that's one sentence, a paragraph, whatever it means, I started, okay? This process of writing a book/movie. So I see that as an accomplishment in itself that I started, so I put that on there. Number five, getting down there. I got through Jay Robinson 10-day intensive wrestling camp. You're probably like, what the heck is that and who cares? Well, it was huge for me because Jay Robinson 10-day intensive wrestling camp, as much as I can explain to you non-wrestlers or if there are wrestlers in this room, it was 10 days of intensive wrestling camp. So you had four practices a day. You got up at like 5 and you did a jog, then you ate breakfast, and you jogged, then you showered, then you ate breakfast, and then you had another practice, and then you ate, showered, and ate, and then you had another practice, and showered, and ate, and then you had another practice, and showered. For 10 days in a row, like 40 practices. It was ridiculous. And at the end of that camp, you had to run 12 miles. So, like, and all this was to get to, and I don't know why I didn't bring it tonight, because I thought you guys would have laughed at me, but because you don't understand the meaning. I'm trying to explain it. But it's a shirt, it's a prideful shirt that you get at the end of the camp that says, I did it, Jay Robinson Camp, 2005, I think it was. And I got this shirt, but the thing that really stinks is I had to go through this camp twice. Not once, but twice. And the reason I had to go through it twice, and some of you probably never seen it, and if you can't see it right now, if you kind of look closely, this arm is crooked, like it's bowed. It's a lot more crooked than this one, if you couldn't tell. Like, I can't twist it all the way. Like, it's crooked. That's why it's hard sometimes for me to... Even me playing a guitar is a miracle, everyone, okay? So, it's crooked. It's bowed. So, what happened the first year when I went there, summer going into junior year, I went to this camp, and I was standing up on this kid, and he threw me back down to the mat, and I put my arm down, and it bent. It's just nasty. I was just laying there. It was just flapping all around and stuff like that, and it was one of the most excruciating pains I've ever been through. Yes, I cried, if you want to know. And so, like, the thing is, though, it didn't break. It just, like, bent. And, like, a little fracture right here on my elbow. I don't know how that happened. And so what they wanted to do was go back in there, cut in my skin and bend it, break it, and bend it back together. But we decided not to do that because then I would have to give up my trumpet skills because that was really important. I won first all the time. Just kidding. And I also wouldn't be able to wrestle, so we're just like, oh, is it going to be fine? Yeah, so now I have a crooked arm for the rest of my life. Awesome. So I had to go back again because during that camp, I couldn't get all the points. Like, you got negative points if you didn't go to practice, and I couldn't go to practice with a bowed arm. So, like, I couldn't do practice, so I got negatives, and I didn't have enough points at the end of the camp to get my I Did It shirt. Paid all this money. I even ran the 12 miles at the end with a sling, okay? It didn't matter. Like, they weren't very mercy-orientated at this camp, okay? So I'm like, great. I have to go back. And when I got there my second year, the next summer, I'm like, why the heck did I do this again? Yeah, because it was just so hard. It's just mentally tough. But I did it. I should have brought the shirt. That would have been probably smart of me. But that's one of my greatest accomplishments, and I really had to explain that one because it's really important. Number four, some of you know this, but I've completed 2 marathons, and I would say that is crazy, and I don't know how I did it, okay? But my wife has completed one with me, our first one last year, and then this past October I ran another one. And let me tell you, if that wouldn't kill you, I don't know what would. But it's one of those really cool mile markers in my life, and I never thought I was going to do it. And I don't even know, why did we even want to do it, Courtney? Why did we even want to run? Oh, duh. We did it for Speed of Light the past 2 years. And so the first year we raised over $2,000, and this past year I did it more as a motivation towards you guys so you didn't think I was just sitting on my butt not doing anything for Speed of Light. So 2 marathons, that's 26.2 miles if you didn't know, that I ran without stopping. Number three, we're getting down there. This is kind of obvious, but it's an accomplishment. I graduated college. Yeah, and my wife graduated college on Friday. Everyone give her a hand. Woo! It's past Friday. Well, last May, I graduated college. It took me 5 years. It took her 4.5, so I guess she beat me. Okay. She only took her 4.5 because she had a strong man like me by her side helping her. Right. You guys don't believe me, do you? You guys think I'm crazy. Okay. Number two. One of my greatest accomplishments is I became a youth pastor. Aww. I know. This is huge for me because this is something I always have wanted to do since, yes, West Point Church. Something I've always wanted to do since 8th grade, so that's a huge accomplishment. And number one, this isn't by any means me sucking up or anything like that, but my number one greatest accomplishment in my eyes is I got married to the most beautiful woman of God I could have ever asked for. And there she is right there. That's an accomplishment, man. If you can find a more beautiful woman of God than that, well, you can't, so don't even try. So there we go. Those are my top 10 accomplishments, and I take pride in them, like I said. So go home, write down your accomplishments, put them on your wall so you can see them every morning, because when you go to school, you know you're just going to get torn down, because unfortunately that's the world we live in, right? So you can look at it and be like, whatever, I accomplished this 2 years ago. You can't take that from me. So, questions. Dude, that's not an accomplishment. That's a gift, dude. No, that's a gift. All right? Yeah. So, anyways. So what are some of your accomplishments? Why are they important to know? Write them down. Boom, boom. Everyone understand that? Good. Now that I've shared with you my accomplishments, I want to share with you an accomplishment of one human being besides myself. This is important. Pay attention here. The reason why I want to share with you about this guy is because he did something that no one else in the history of the world ever did. And you guys know that I'm a big wrestling guru, and now I'm coaching wrestling at Delano and stuff like that. And so it is about wrestling. But what's crazy about this guy is he did this, and no one else has ever done it. His name is Cale Sanderson. I think we got some pictures. Cale Sanderson, you've probably never heard of him. And I actually think that's a problem because he did something ridiculous, okay? Ridiculous, and I'm going to share that with you. Throughout high school, I'll get to the good stuff, but throughout high school, he went 127-3. That's not even the best part yet. But throughout his high school career, he went 127-3, and he had 4 state championships. He took state every single year. I have a little excerpt here I want to read. Cale Norman Sanderson is an American wrestler and current head wrestling coach at Penn State University. He was a 2004 Olympic champion. Again, that's not the important thing he did. But this is the thing he did right here, is he also went undefeated in 4 years of college wrestling, 159-0, including 4 consecutive NCAA titles, 1999 through 2002, and was the first NCAA wrestler to go undefeated with more than 100 wins. Sports Illustrated named him the college career as number two most outstanding achievement in college history. He was also a three-time national freestyle champion, and he is he's an accomplished artist, great fisherman, hat golfer, and daddy. He already had his one-year-old doing low-level takedowns and headlocks on his dog. Hey, that's in there. That's an accomplishment. But here's the thing. In a second, I want to show you a video. It's not live footage. I was going to say live footage. But I want to show you some video footage in a second here, and I want to explain it to you before I show it. Is what you're going to see first is you're going to see his last match that he ever wrestled in college, in where he is almost actually pinning the kid. He's in the national championship match. He's supposed to be wrestling another one of the best kids in the nation, and he's almost pinning him in the first period. And then he goes on and wins that, and you can see the celebration. And then it goes into his Olympic gold medal winning right after that. So I wanted to share this with you guys so you kind of can see him and see him in action and see his joy and his accomplishments firsthand. So watch Kale Sanderson here.
Expectation and pressure has been put on the shoulders of this young man. Sanderson's starting to really move into Moon now. He's starting to get very aggressive, and there's a great leg shot. Moon not trying to take him over backwards, and Sanderson gets Moon to break the line. He's going to score a takedown.
Time ticks down, and that is it. Congratulations, America's new golden boy of wrestling, Kale Sanderson.
That is Kale Sanderson. Again, for those of you who have never really been in wrestling and you think it's just a bunch of these weird guys wrestling around in tights, it's a lot more than that, okay? There's great discipline to it. I honestly credit me running my two marathons to wrestling as far as the mental part about it, everything like that. The cool thing about Kale Sanderson, again, is you saw his last match in college history where he won. I almost pinned the guy, actually. I wish he would have, but. You saw that, and you saw him. That was his fourth national championship, and he went 159-0. No one beat him throughout college. Just think about that. That's just crazy. And it's really cool because the thing he accredited that to, and people always ask him, how did you do it, right? You know, what was the difference? And his simple response to it was, he felt that he just had the will to win that much more than the other person. That's it. That's all. He was a very humble guy. He usually never showed expression. The two expressions you saw, that was rare. I mean, he just won the gold medal in Fort National Champions, 159-0. But he rarely showed expression. He was always a very humble person, and he's a great guy. And to do that in that type of a way, and just, man, it's just crazy. All he said was, I just had the will to win more than the other guy every time I stepped on the mat. So I just wanted to tell you about Kale Sanderson because it kind of ties in again to our accomplishments and what we're talking about tonight. The last person I want to talk to you about tonight is obviously Jesus Christ and what his accomplishments were. And my question to you right off the bat, for those of you who've never heard about him before or have, what are you going to do with Jesus? That's my question for you tonight, my main question. More than any other question I ask you tonight, What are you going to do with Jesus? Where are you going to place him in your life? How will you talk about him or allow him to help you? What are you going to do with Jesus? And I have another video. I know a lot of videos. I want you to watch this video about this question.
Well, yeah, there you are again. It's me, the finger pointer. Forgive me if I skip over all the chit-chat, but I'm a little short on time, and I got lots to say about all your shortcomings, so just bear with me, if you will. I got a question. I got one little question, okay? And some of you are going to hear it, and you're going to take your little tithe envelopes, and you're going to make your first donation to get this guy's face off my screen foundation. But some of you are going to have the fortitude and the courtesy to stick through this short, albeit mind-slapping soliloquy. So are you ready? Are you ready? Here's the question. One question. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's it. We got all kinds of debates popping up all over the red and blue states in this great country of ours. Intelligent design, evolution, what are you going to do with Jack Bauer, blah, 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 ad nauseum, blah, 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 all that stuff. But you know what? That's just the art of David Blaine-like misdirection, my friends. That's all it is. Left to knock you off the main question. Knock you off the main question. That's all it's doing. Because the main question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Come on, people. Come on, you can't deny the fact that he's the central character to the biggest selling, furthest reaching, life-changingest, most inspirational, controversial, and scandalous book of all times, right? He's the guy that says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Son of God and God at the same time. He's the creator, the sustainer, the word, the bread of life, and the Lamb of God, all those together. He is the redeemer and bearer of our sins. That's what he says. Yeah, all things are held together by him, and the matter, science, all of it popped into existence by this very word. That's what it says. He's our comforter. He's our mediator. He's our friend and our judge. But titles that are endless, endless titles about the guy. And you know what? I don't have time to talk about all of them. You got a Bible, take a peek if you got the guts. The point is, people, these aren't just nicknames his mommy gave him when she was sewing together a tunic for temple time, okay? These are words and titles that if you actually know what they're talking about, would make you shudder in your boots, okay? It would make you question everything. It would make you rebel and disgust if you don't believe it or jump out of that anti-Al Gore gas-guzzling Hummer and shout for joy. It makes you do something. You got to do something with a guy like this, don't you think? I mean, come on. After all, think about it. What he said, what he taught, the fact that he transformed the very planet that we're on demands that we make a choice. And if you make a choice to do nothing, that's just something you choose, okay? So there ain't no, I want to take my ball and go home. I don't want to play in the game because everybody's in this game, baby. Everybody. There ain't no bench warmers. No, 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 no. You just consider yourself lucky because you get to play in the game with the guy who is the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies. He's the muse to countless poets. He is the theme to a million love songs and the hero to a thousand stories. And that's just the facts, Jack. Okay? He's the most talked about, preached about, debated about, lied about, and fought about man in history. So if you just think he's a good little sensei right now, you know what? You failed the test, Daniel, son. Time to go wax on a little more. If you think he's just a good man, if you think he's just a good man after all this, you haven't been listening. And most importantly, if you think he doesn't change lives, never met him. So I ask the question again, what are you going to do with Jesus? You can't be neutral. He says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, goes to heaven except through him, period. All right? Bold words, outrageous claims. As a matter of fact, if I think of all these claims, if I think of everything he said, and you ask me in my less than humble opinion, it's ludicrous. What he said is absolutely ludicrous. Unless, of course, it's true. And if it's true, what are you going to do with Jesus? If you don't believe, are you sure enough to bet your eternity on it? If you still got questions, why aren't you asking them? And if you're a believer, why aren't we doing something about it? Why aren't we doing what he says, and why aren't we sharing his story, huh? And by we, I mean you, because I'm just too darn busy pointing fingers.
I love that guy. I want to meet him someday. That was pretty intense, straight to the point, in your face video that I hope you watched and you listened to. What are you going to do with Jesus? It's a serious question, guys. And again, like I said, last week we talked about the baby Jesus, and we talked about how baby Jesus, he was born solely so you could be born again, okay? Period. He was born so you could be born again, so you could live a new life, so you could be the man and woman of God that you're supposed to be, okay? That's why the baby Jesus was born. Now, when baby Jesus grew up, he wasn't baby Jesus anymore. Obviously, he was just Jesus. And I don't have any pictures here to share with you tonight, and that's okay. We've all seen the crazy amounts of pictures of what people thought or what Jesus looked like. But what Jesus did while he was here on earth was ridiculous. The accomplishments that he made here on earth, man, he has a list. And he doesn't just have a list of accomplishments. But he has a list of accomplishments that that outweigh anything we could ever do in our lives. It's crazy. I don't even have the time tonight to list through all the accomplishments that Jesus accomplished. There's over 40 in the New Testament that are talked about, but I just want to give you a quick 15 accomplishments that I felt that were good for you to know, or if you forgot, that Jesus did while he was here at earth, and they're all miracles. So here they are. Number one, he was born of a virgin. That's crazy. We talked about that last week. Number two, he changed water into wine. That's insane. All right. Number three, he healed a paralyzed man. Four, healed a withered hand. Five, he calmed the stormy sea. So it was just crazy going all over the place. He said, calm, it was done. Number six, healed a demon-possessed man. Number seven, healing a woman with internal bleeding. She was bleeding from the inside for who knows how long. Healed it, just like that. Here's a cool one. Number eight, he healed a man who was crippled for 38 years. Get that. 38 years he was crippled, and he healed him. Number nine, he fed 5,000 people. Most of you have heard this story. With how many fish and bread? Anyone remember? Yeah, that's close enough. I'm just kidding. All right, 5,000 people he fed. Number 10, he caught a fish, and the fish had a coin in its mouth. Okay, it was a parable. He was talking about it. This fish had a coin in its mouth. Number 11, healed a demon-possessed girl. Number 12, he healed a man born blind. He was born blind. He was blind his whole life, and he healed him. Number 13, Jesus, one of my favorite stories, walked on water. I don't think you see people do that every day, and I have a whole message on that, so that's not the message tonight. But he walked on water. Number 14, he healed 10 men suffering from leprosy. I've talked about that story before, too. 10 men, leprosy, if you don't know what that is, it's just a horrible disease, and it takes over your nervous system, and your skin's falling off, and there's sores, and you're always in pain, and no one wants to be around you. 10 of these men he healed like that. Don't Google leprosy, okay? I'm just telling you, it's disgusting. Number 15, he brought Lazarus back to life. He brought someone back to life. They were dead, gone, done. Brought them back to life. Guys, these are just a short list of all the accomplishments that Jesus did while he was here on earth. But as we close tonight, I want to talk about the top three accomplishments that we all cannot forget that Jesus did, and we need to remember tonight. And these are the top three accomplishments, and we're going to look at them in a different way or briefly tonight in our Bibles. The first one that I feel as one of Jesus' top accomplishments is he made disciples. We sometimes overlook that. We always think about all these miracles he did and all these great things and that he died on the cross for our sins, but we forget that he made disciples. And why was making disciples so important? Guys, because if he didn't make disciples, none of you would be sitting here today. We've talked about that before. You would not be sitting here today if Jesus didn't come to this earth and make disciples. It says actually in, if you want to turn with me in John chapter 17, this is kind of cool, and I don't have time to go in deep into this passage, but it's interesting to look at. In John 17, right here, verse 4, but before that, it says Jesus is praying for himself. So this is before he goes off. This is before Jesus goes off and is crucified, okay? And this is what he says in verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You catch that? He's like, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Right there, Jesus said he completed the work. This is before he was crucified. This is before he rose again. Jesus is saying that he completed the work, and I know this might be confusing. Well, what has he completed? But what he's referencing right here, guys, he's referencing to how he made disciples. He completed the work here on earth. He knew he came, yes, to seek and save the lost, but he came to make disciples, and none of you would be here right now if he didn't complete that work. Number two, This is the one that we're all very familiar with, one that's super important and that we're going to sit on tonight. But Jesus, while he was a human here on earth, he took on the sins of the world. I want us just to try to think about that for a second. And we talk about it all the time. I know we're in church and it's Christmas season, and you know why we're kind of talking about Jesus, but just for a second, he took on the sins of the world. So first we need to think about how big the world is. Then we need to think about the countless amounts of people that are in this world right now. And the countless amount of people that have already passed away from this earth. In the countless amount of people that are going to be born this second or for the years to come. Jesus took on the sins of all the earth. Now, just think about yourself right now. If you have to close your eyes so you're not distracted, do it. But right now, I know it's not an easy and very comfortable thing to do, but right now I want you just to think about all the sins that you have committed since the day you were born. Just you alone. Okay, now add those up with every single other person sitting next to you and in this world. Just try to fathom that for a second. He took on the sins of the world. Crazy. And one thing I want to represent about this that I feel like is super important and shows Jesus' expression is in Mark 15. So if you want, this is a second little short passage I want to look at. Mark 15, verse 33 and 34. This is really interesting, guys, because this is Jesus is on the cross right now. He's just about to die. He's just about to end his life here on earth. And this is what he says. This is what he cries out to God. Verse 33, it starts out, "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" This is one of Jesus' last words right here. He's on the cross. He's already been whipped, beaten. He's hanging there, nails in his hands and his feet. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Guys, this is really important to understand and know. You have to understand in that moment and why Jesus said that. If we know anything about Jesus, we knew he was sinless, right? Right? He walked this earth. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He was always, he was half God, half man. Well, in that moment when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what was happening? For the first time in his life, in his 33 years here on earth, he felt separated from God. For the first time, Jesus, yes, even Jesus, the first time in his life, he felt separated from God. You want to know why he felt separated from God in that moment? Because of us. God forsake him because God and sin doesn't go together, okay? And for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, he had to take on our sins. And in that moment that he was taking on our sins, he became separated from God because we cannot be close to God if we have sins in our lives. You see that? So in that moment, Jesus felt the weight, though. You think we feel the weight of our sins and we have a horrible life. Think about all the sins at once, piled up at one time on Jesus at that moment. Think of how he was feeling. The sins of this world in that moment, resting on the cross. And he did that for you, and he did that for me. If that's not an accomplishment, I don't know what is. Even go through with it. And number three, really quickly, and the worship team can come back up. Number three, we all know this, and this is a super important part of Jesus' life. He conquered the grave. Okay? He didn't just raise people from the dead. He rose from the dead 3 days later. In Romans 8:11, this is the last little verse I want to share with you guys tonight. Romans 8:11, it says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead," catch this, "if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. What that's saying, guys, is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. To sum it up, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And you might be sitting there like, yeah, right, well, I don't feel it, or like, no way, I'm too sinful, or all this kind of stuff like that. That's crazy. But it says it right there. And again, I'm the type of person, you either believe in everything the Bible says or you don't believe in any of it. I just need everybody to stop talking. There's some talking going on, and just pay attention. This is the end right here. This is the most important part. But then the question comes back with, he made disciples. He died on the cross for our sins, right? He conquered the grave. But the question I have coming back to you guys is, so what are you going to do with Jesus? If you know all these things, if you know the accomplishments in your life, and you know those accomplishments kind of shape who you're going to become, and you know all these accomplishments that Jesus now, if you never knew before, well, now you do know, so you're accountable for them. What are you going to do with Jesus? The first person I'm going to ask this question to you is the believer in here. Everyone that's a believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted him before. What are you going to do with this? Like that guy said in the video, are you just going to hide it up in a little ball and just save it for a rainy day or something like that? Or will you celebrate his accomplishments with others? Will you be bold enough to tell others about Jesus and then continue to learn more about him? Here's a quote that I love, and it's actually, if anybody knows who Lecrae is, he says this in one of his songs. He's a Christian hip-hop artist. He says something like, we're either certainly insane or certainly certain to believe in Jesus. Catch that? We're either certainly insane or certainly certain. So, like that guy said in the video, it's crazy to think that Jesus did all these things, that a man hung on the cross for our sins, he raised people from the dead, he fed 5,000 people. We're either insane in believing all this, guys, we're either insane in believing it, or we're certainly certain that it happened. And see, tonight it's going to be your choice, just like every day you wake up, it's going to be your choice to actually live that out. It's going to be your choice to choose if that's what you believe. And not just choose it, but live it out and share it with your friends. Because guys, if this really is all truth, and one day we'll all find out, when we pass away, if this really is truth, then this is the greatest, the most amazing, remarkable thing that's ever hit this planet Earth. And we should be living it out. And we should be following it. Every single breath we take, every single move that we make. I'm going to close like this tonight again. And we're going to have time here to spend 5 minutes with God and respond to him. But again, can I just have everyone's eyes closed and their head down? Just out of respect, most of you guys know this drill. No one looking around. Every head bowed, eyes closed. Right now, I want to talk to the person in here that this might have been the first time you've heard something about Jesus, that you never knew he has accomplished these types of things, that you never even knew that, you know, Jesus was born, or you never knew that he died on the cross for your sins, he made disciples, he conquered the grave, and he did this all for you. Here's the thing, I know that your generation, if you're hurting and you're seeking for one thing and one thing only, I know you're seeking for worth. I know you're seeking for acceptance. Every day you wake up, you hope that someone's going to love you, that someone's going to appreciate you, that someone's going to think that you're worth something. Well, I'm telling you tonight, if you never knew this, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And Jesus sees so much in you. And Jesus, to him, you're worth everything. And that's why he died on the cross for your sins. So tonight, if you've never had an opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart, if you've never had the opportunity to ask him to come into your life and to change you so you could serve him and so you could follow him, I want to ask that person tonight, if there's anybody in here. So on the count of three, if you're so bold enough to accept Jesus, a free gift, it says that we're all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God, but it says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, that we'll be saved. That's it. So if you want to be saved tonight, it's simple. On the count of three, all you have to do is raise your hand, and everybody else's eyes are closed and heads bowed. It's just between me, you, and God tonight. If you you want to be saved tonight for the first time, on the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand high tonight if you've never accepted Jesus in this place and you want to. Is there anyone? I want to give a couple more seconds. This is the most important choice you'll ever make in your life. This next part and how I want us to close tonight is this. I want everyone just to stand to their feet. Everyone just stand to their feet. We have a few minutes, and I want us to take these few minutes and respond. Guys, last week we talked about baby Jesus and talked about what he could do in our lives. Tonight we talked about Jesus. And again, I know most of you have heard this story over and over again. But I see him. And I feel like we forget it so easily. And so tonight, if we can just take 5 minutes, we don't even have 5 minutes, we have three, but if we could just take 5 minutes, I want you guys, after I'm done praying, just spread out in this place. I don't care if all of you are up here. You know, it's okay if some of you stay in your seat or whatever, but I just want us to spread out. I don't want you to be within 3 feet of anybody. 3 or 4 feet of anybody I don't want you to be in after I'm done praying. And all I want you to do, just sit in God's presence. You're going to sing this song again, I Give Myself Away. That's what I want you to do tonight. In my knowledge, everyone in here has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you haven't, again, just come talk to me afterwards. This is the best and most important decision you'll ever make, but I want you to rest in God's presence tonight and sing these words if you need to. I give myself away. It's a Christmas season, guys. We're talking about Jesus' accomplishments. Tonight, let's rest in his presence, give ourselves away to him so we can be used for his kingdom. There's no greater thing that we could do but be used for his kingdom. So I'm going to pray. I want you guys to spread out. And let's just take 5 minutes to be with God. And then you can go off back into your own little world, all right? Jesus, I just thank you so much for tonight, Lord. God, right now, I just pray for these students. God, as they spread out, Lord Jesus, as they spend time with you, God, I pray that you will meet with them. God, as they pray to you, God, as they're reading their Bible, as they're responding to you, as they're singing these words, I give myself away to you, Lord. I pray they will not sing them unless they mean them. God, and as they spend this time with you, God, I pray that you speak to them, that you give them strength. God, that you continue to continually remind them how much you mean. God, continue to remind them how much they're worth to you, God, and how much you love them and how much you accept them for who they are, no matter what they've done or what they're going to do, God. That you already took on that pain on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus, be with these students tonight. Let your will be done in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Spread out. I'll come back up in 5 minutes and I'll dismiss us, but let's be serious. Let's really go after him here for 5 minutes. I think you can do it. I know you can do it. Guys, may that be your prayer this holiday season. Do you know that the holiday season, the Christmas season, is one of the most opportunistic times to share your faith with your friends? Why? Because it's everywhere. Everybody's celebrating something. Everybody's celebrating Jesus. And I just want this to be our prayer, because if we go into this holiday season and you're giving yourself away to God and you're giving yourself away to his plans and your dreams are his, he'll use you, all right? He'll open doors in your friends' lives. That you know friends right now that to say they don't believe in God, they're agnostic or whatever, or they're a different religion, and they're always like, I don't believe in God, church ain't my thing. Guess what? If you're praying for them and you're giving yourself away to his plans, he will use you this Christmas season. But if you just sit there and don't do anything and make excuses, you can literally be messing with someone's eternity and in a negative way. So I want that to be our prayer tonight, and I'm gonna pray one more time over you guys so God is with you and that you guys can stay focused this holiday season. But if you need to talk to someone again tonight, there's leaders in this room. Again, if you need prayer about something, you need to know every time you walk into this place, you need prayer, you're going through something, please do not hesitate to talk to us. it doesn't even have to pertain to the message. If you're going through stuff, it's rough at home with your family. It doesn't matter what it is, guys. Talk to me. Talk to Courtney. There's 5 other leaders in this place that love to meet with you and pray for you and be there for you. So don't ever leave this place if you need that. I'm going to pray, and you guys, you guys can linger, or you guys are dismissed after I pray, but next week's our last week of Becomes. Come out for that. Jesus, I thank you again for tonight, Lord. I thank you for these students. God, as we go into this holiday season like we were talking about, God, I pray that you give us divine appointments. God, you give us opportunities to share our faith with people. God, you give us opportunities to share our faith with family members, friends that we never would have dreamed to have the guts, or friends that we never dreamed that would open up to you, Lord. I pray that you will be, let us be bold, God, that you will give us your spirit. God has said the same spirit that raised you from the dead is in us. Well, if that's the case, that's some pretty powerful stuff. God, so I pray that spirit over us tonight. God, and we receive that, God, and we want to walk from here, Lord, and walk into our world, Lord Jesus, no matter what problems that are going on, no matter what things we have to get through, whatever homework assignment we need to get done, God, allow us to rest in your presence for a little bit every day and get strength from you and remember what you accomplished for us. Remember what you did for us, God, so we can share that with others. God, we love you and we thank you for tonight, Lord, and we just pray again. You will work in us. You will work in the people in our lives, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.